This is the FM Gold Channel of All India Radio. In the weekly program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on mid-term review of foreign trade policy. The participants are Jayanta Roy Chaudhary, economic analyst, and Siddharth Singh, journalist.
Commerce and Industry Minister Suresh Prabhu today announced the review of the foreign trade policy, which was initially announced in April 2015. Basically, a course correction. It was also necessitated by post-rollout of goods and services tax. Exporters are facing a lot of problems, especially on the working capital front. Jayanta, if I could start by asking you, we've seen again a big amount of incentives announced under MEIS and SEIS schemes. If you could explain that for our listeners to begin with.
Well, to start with, they have virtually doubled the amount of incentive that you could get under these schemes. So instead of a 2% incentive, you are going to get about 4% incentive. This is, of course, big money because it will cost the government exchequer about 8,500 crores in SOPs, which is good news for exporters. The point is that we will have to see what is the time taken in giving these incentives, because what is really troubling the exporters is their lack of working capital. Ever since the GST has come and the system of paying tax before your product actually delivers, gets somewhere else and you get paid, has created a huge problem for exporters, especially for merchant exporters who work on wafer thin margins. Merchant exporters are people who take an order, let's say for garments, and then get someone else to make the garment for him. That someone else is actually getting someone else to do job work for him, little bits of work, which is aggregated into one suit or one, whatever you want to call it, one sari eventually sold. Without working capital, he cannot extend the working capital needed for the manufacturer. The manufacturer cannot go on giving it to the job worker, etc., etc. So down the chain, there has been a lack of cash ever since the twin effects of demonetization and GST happened. So that is what this entire review exercise was supposed to address. To some extent, yes, they have taken into account the problems. They have increased incentives, but we have to see where it takes us. My own feeling is, of course, it will help, but it will take some time. There will be a time lag between the announcement of the incentives and the actual increase in the rate of our exports.
Jayanta, we also saw, if we get into the finer details of this incentives, we saw it is basically focused more on labor-intensive sectors like textiles, leather, also ready-made garments. These are also sectors which are big employers, and we've seen, as you rightly pointed out, post-GST rollout, we've seen job shrinkage and exporters facing problem on that front. So do you think the reason for this is also because government wants to give an incentive to sectors where there is the large-scale employment opportunities also?
You are right. I mean, let's accept this fact that these sectors were going through a slowdown mode even before demonetization or GST. They were in trouble. Tirupur had a lot of closures in years 2013, 12, 14, 15 onwards. I mean, throughout the period.
If I can just add small question here. Is it also because of the global slowdown that they were already impacted, as you are saying?
Yes, partly global slowdown, partly because our competitiveness vis-a-vis other countries was getting askew. So now, after GST and demonetization, it was further accentuated. This process of job loss, of units shutting down, units shrinking, had accentuated. So they needed to do something about it. That's one. The other sectors, let's say automobiles, or let us say engineering goods, etc., which are not so dependent on small manufacturers, there the problem was not so huge. But the problem for those which were dependent on job workers, SMEs, the problem was bigger. Diamond cutting, for instance. Garments manufacturing, for another. Surat had problems. Tirupur had problems. Ludhiana had problems. So you had these job centers, and these are SMEs are the backbone of Indian job industry. The large-scale manufacturers might be adding to our GDP, but they don't employ too many people. It's highly automated. Whether it's a Maruti's manufacturing plant in Manesar or Hyundai in Chennai, these are big value investments, but they do not add jobs, that many jobs. It is the small fellows who really add jobs. Even the guy who just employs 5 workers for his lakh machine is adding more jobs per dollar of investment or per rupees of investment than the big fellow. So these guys had to be incentivized, and which is why this course correction, this entire policy reformulation was being done.
One more attractive scheme that we've seen today being announced by Suresh Prabhu was that a new trust-based scheme, which is the self-certification of import of raw materials by exporters. So if you could dwell some light on that.
It's a very good idea. It has been demanded by the exporters for a long time that you allow exporters to import raw materials without paying duty immediately. Because they are not going to make money immediately. They're going to make money once they sell their stuff. So you allow them to bring it in duty-free, then let them manufacture and sell abroad, earn their money. After that, if there is a discrepancy, because what was earlier happening, they were paying the duty and then they were selling. Once they were selling, then that they were getting a duty offset. So instead of this duplication of work, you bring it in duty-free, sell it outside. If you can't sell it outside, if some of it stays back in, then you pay the difference. So you self-certify. It's like when you're going for a passport, you self-certify, yes, this is my birth certificate. I'm certifying it. It's true. Later onwards, if the passport authorities find out that your birth certificate was fake, then you will be charged. So similarly, here you self-certify, bring it in. If there is a discrepancy, then you will be asked, or rather you will have to either pay up yourself, or if you are asked to pay up, then you will be asked to pay up with a fine.
We also saw government today came out with a single window contact for both exporters as well as importers. They've issued a new email ID which says contact at the DGFT. Basically, it will be showing popping up on the DGFT website. And they're saying whatever issues that may crop up on both sides, as for exporters as well as for importers. So there are any suggestions, any queries they wish to make. So government has announced one single point window or the email. So they can immediately come to the government, get their issues resolved, and there'll be a serial number will be assigned to each item or each suggestion or problem that they raise with the government, and they can follow it up online. So do you think this will also speed up in resolving the problems faced by exporters as well as importers?
Absolutely. It's a way of cutting down red tape as well as resolving problems which might happen between an importer and an exporter too. Meitei, the Japanese organization which similarly tries to promote Japanese trade, which has been very successful, which is why Japan is such a big powerhouse for trade, did something similar, not electronically in initial stages, but it did something similar, and which is why you have very few complaints against Japanese exporters. Whereas large number of complaints against Indian importers as well as exporters, quality, lack of payments, etc. Now, these are issues which have to be resolved. Otherwise, Brand India gets hit. This is something which is excellent. Also, the Brand India has to, the exporters and importers have to resolve things with the government too. There are a lot of issues which the government has to step in, where the government is not perhaps doing enough. So these are issues which they can raise there, and then they can be perhaps taken up and resolved as fast as is possible.
We can move to the big issue, the big problem that is being faced by exporters since July 1 when the GST was rolled out. And a lot of working capital is getting blocked in the taxes that they have paid. So as inputs which have not been coming back to them as fast as they should have come normally. Though government today said they are announcing a special scheme for this also, they have said now. And they claimed that for July, as exporters have already been, the taxes that were due to them or the input that was due to them has been paid back. Last sum of that has been returned, almost about 450 crores out of 550 crores which was due to the exporters has already come back to the exporters. And they have said for the subsequent months, they can again now start filing their GSTR 1 and the GSTR 3B. And the government is making this whole process online. So there will be speeding up this process of releasing the working capital for the exporters, which is a cause of big concern for them.
They're talking about is something called an e-wallet. So basically you pay your taxes notionally into the e-wallet and you get your credit notionally from the e-wallet. And in the process, whatever is due to the government and whatever is due to the exporter gets, it's like a balance sheet and you get cut off from one or the other. So actual payments don't happen immediately by the exporter or by the government. But this helps because this way, the exporter is not blocking his capital. What was happening is the exporter was prepaying his GST, therefore blocking his capital and therefore unable to use that money to manufacture or to give advances to his job workers. So this e-wallet concept is something which the exporters actually had proposed, and now after a lot of thinking, the government seems to have agreed to it, which I think is a very good step on the part of the government. After all, if we are leaders in digital economy, then we should use more digital tools in order to speed up a lot of things which can happen in bureaucracy or in the economy. So this is, I believe, a good step forward. This is one way of looking at it. The other, of course, is there are a lot of other issues in the GST taxation regime, which continues to dog the exporters, and that have to be solved. I would imagine that these would be taken up. E-wallet, by the way, will come in from 1st of April, so there is a time lag. So exporters will continue to be hit for some more time. I do hope and I wish that the next GST Council at its meeting, whenever it happens in late December or January, does take into account the needs of the exporters and not only brings forward the e-wallet concept, but also brings in a number of steps to ease the problems of working capital that the exporters are facing, especially the merchant exporters. As I said, the merchant exporters actually work on very thin margins. But they are the guys who are doing a bulk of your business. If you hit them, your business gets hit. Your exports have already taken quite a hit in this last past 1 year. Your aim of getting your exports up to 3.5% of the global trade by 2020 is behind schedule.
You rightly pointed out, I think October exports, again we have seen a shrinkage. They have again come down, primarily because of the hit that exporters have taken on account of GST.
As you said, that is one reason. But otherwise also, we have been going through a bad patch, mainly because we have been losing out on our competitive edge. And it's not just costlier workers. That's not the reason why Bangladesh is doing better than us or Cambodia is doing better than us. It is because they have managed to put in place systems which help their exports proceed at a much faster pace than our exporters. For instance, a truck from a Bangladesh garments manufacturing factory gets tagged and is allowed to go without any inspections right up to the port in Chittagong or Mogla or wherever it is. From near Dhaka, they have a place called Ashulia, which is the main garments hub. The truck moves and it has given a special track to move in, so it does not get impeded by other traffic. It gets a special lane to move in, no police checks, no unnecessary barriers. It goes straight to the port and your exports happen in faster time than possible in India. So these are extra incentives which have been given, which makes them more competitive than us. Secondly, of course, labor standards and a lot of safety standards we have read stories about how they have been compromised in Bangladesh, and Bangladesh is paying a price for it. They were dumped by many, many buyers because of that. They are now doing a course correction of their own. We luckily have far stronger safety standards and labor standards in place, but we do need to bring in, we have to understand that the hubs that were there in Tirupur or that were there in Ludhiana may have to shift geographic location. It can remain in India, but it should be nearer the ports. Ludhiana is just too far away. We have to understand that the eastern Indian states have a lot of skilled workers who travel all the way to Surat to work, who travel all the way to Ludhiana. They demand higher wages. You can pay them lower wages if you set up those same plants, say Bhuvaneshwar or somewhere near Calcutta. And the ports are also near Paradip or Haldia. You can perhaps think of northeast of India, which has excellent trained manpower. So we have to think smarter. We have to also restyle our ways of functioning. We have to develop systems which allow our producers to export their goods at faster pace in a much, much more meaningful manner. So these have to be worked out. The whole leather industry in Bangladesh is thanks to India. We sell them a lot of cattle and they have developed a leather industry which was absent. They did not have a leather footwear industry at all. Now they are one of the leading players. They are our rivals. We have helped them. We have to see to it that instead of helping someone else too much, we should be utilizing our own raw materials.
Just ask you one more small question on agriculture exports. Is also a special focus to increase the farmers' income. So how do you see this initiative?
It's a good initiative, provided the farmer really gets the benefit of it. Of course, we have to reduce the number of middlemen in this trade, and there are too many middlemen in this. If you can reduce the number of middlemen, A, that helps the farmer. B, you have to be consistent. You can't say that I'm going to export sugar this year and not export sugar the next year. Therefore, if you have decided that you will export X amount of sugar in a given year, then you have to do the same. You can at the most reduce X by 1/10 or so. But if you do not do that, then the buyer will not come back to you. He will go somewhere else because you defaulted on his belief in you. So this is something we have to understand. We have to be serious about our exports. We have to be serious about our commitments. And we have to reduce the number of middlemen in the play so that the farmer gets a higher price.
I hope the steps taken today boost Indian exports and we are able to achieve our aim of reaching $900 billion worth of exports by 2020. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on Mid-Term Review of Foreign Trade Policy. The participants were Jayanta Roy Chaudhary, Economic Analyst, and Siddharth Singh, Journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can also listen to this program on our website newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com. Please stand by for our next program.